The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hello, everybody. Did everybody get coffee already?
That's great.
Are we ready to start?
Yes.
Okay. So let me turn my cell phone off, and I'm going to ask everybody to do the same. And then I'm going to get myself some coffee. I want to make sure everybody has drinks. So we had about, I think, 12 people signed up for the session. I'm still waiting a little bit just to see if people are going to show up. And we have a ton of handouts that I need to give you as well. And we're going to do a lot of fun exercises. So let me ask one question that starts our networking session on the right foot today. Do you all know each other? Yes, okay, good. So what I'm going to do is to make sure that I know you. A lot of you have come to my office already. I know which country you're from. I know the practice area you're focused on. I've seen your resumes, but some of you I haven't yet. So I'm just going to go around the room and ask you to please introduce yourself. Tell me your name, your country of origin, and the areas of law that you're interested in, and what you're like doing in your LLM. Like, what are the areas that you're focusing in? Let's start with you. Or after you two. Okay, she can start while you're chewing. That's fine.
Okay, my name is Natarad. I'm specialized on human rights, international human rights.
Okay.
And because I want to focus on human trafficking. Yeah.
And you've had experience working with that, right?
No, actually.
Not really? Okay.
But because I think my country is one of country that really have problem human trafficking, so I really want to do. That's why next semester I'm gonna do independent studies with Professor Daniela.
Okay, okay, that's wonderful. Okay, so what about you?
My name is Wen. My full name is Wen Luo. I come from China, and I want to specialize in international trade law.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a very interesting.
Especially being from China. China is very active right now.
Yeah, it's
amazing. Yes, makes sense. You should take my class. Let me make a pitch for my class. You should take my trade class next semester. That will help you a lot, free trade agreements.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
I'm Pauline. I'm from China. I focus on transactions for business.
Okay.
Because I have this kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My name's Yichen. And I'm from China. I focus on business law. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to do some international business in the future.
Okay. And you?
My name is I'm from China. And I kind of specialize in intellectual property law.
It's fine if you
want to come.
If you want to.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll get these. Go ahead.
Well, I registered to the courses for intellectual property law, but I actually wanted to become a corporate lawyer, so I guess intellectual property law would be a plus for becoming a corporate lawyer.
Yes, sounds good.
My name is Sun Xiaoqi, and people here call me Claudia.
Awesome.
I'm from China too.
Okay.
And I want to specialize in international humanitarian law.
Okay.
And I also want to work for cultural property protection. And I'm now taking human rights, and I will take international law and humanitarian law in the next semester.
Sounds awesome. Peter.
I'm Peter from Belgium, and I specialize in business law and moral
business law. Sounds good.
My name is Sun Wang from South Korea. I specialize in business law.
As well, okay. Kieran, okay. Where are you from? Yes, and what are your specializations?
Okay, I'm a JD student, and I'm from South Korea.
And you would like to work with?
With anyone.
Okay.
Job.
Okay. Yeah. Which areas are you interested in?
I'm very interested in international relations. For example, like a defense area, like a defense acquisition. So down the road, I really want to work for the Korean government. But for now, you know, I'm just open to everything.
Sounds wonderful. So why am I doing this with you? Why am I introducing each one of you, telling yourselves to introduce yourselves, each and every one of you? Do you have an idea of how, why am I doing this? How does this work? Why? What's the purpose of having that? Of course, I want to know about you and I want to know you, but most of you have already interacted and I remember which areas of law you're doing and everything. I'm doing this because this is exactly what you just said, is exactly the first stepping stone to networking. So basically, the same way you introduced yourself to me today, and you're probably very comfortable in this environment, I would hope, because, you know, we're friends, we're here to help you. You all know each other from the LLM, so this is a very safe environment, right? So there's no risk, you're not taking any risk by introducing yourself here. But exactly the way you told me right now, what your name is, where are you from, what are your areas of law that you're interested in, this is exactly what you can say whenever we have a reception in the school, whenever we have an event where there are lawyers walking around the room, whenever we have an alum that we introduce to you and we say, oh, this person graduated from WCL in 1999, and you say, oh, hi, my name is so-and-so, I am from China or from Belgium or from South Korea, and I'm here doing an LLM and I'm interested in this area or that area of law. So I just wanted to go around the room and give everybody a chance to do that so that you can see that it's not that difficult to get started, right? It's not that frightening. I mean, how did you feel when you were telling me what you're doing, what your name is, where are you from? Did you feel anxious? Did you feel shy? Not really, right? So this is the first stepping stone to get started. So the second thing I'm going to do is I'll pass around these handouts because we're going to be doing a lot of interactive exercises, which is fun. And I want to go through this with you. And then we have a lot of materials that you're probably going to be reading when you get home tonight, hopefully. Well, today's Friday, so probably not tonight, but at some point. Okay, so we're going to be following this outline, and then there are things that you're going to be filling it out. And after we go through this exercise of rethinking about networking and learning a bit more about networking, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to practice how to meet people, what to say, etc. So I hope this is going to be a lot of fun. So the first thing I want to say is, does anybody know what networking means? Do you think that networking is something that you do in your culture back home? I want you to tell me, how does this work back home? Do you think that this is just, is it just an invention of Americans, or do you think that, do they have a patent on it? They're the only ones who can network, or do we do this at home? Tell me about your countries. How does it work?
I think
every culture has it. Every culture has it, okay. What else? In Belgium, how do we do in Belgium? Do we network? Do we meet people? I'm sorry? It's less than over here. Okay, okay, but it's done to a certain extent. How is South Korea, Kirim? You're my South Korean ambassador.
There's another South Korean here,
so the two of you.
Networking is a very important and crucial, is a crucial element in finding a job, even in South Korea.
Even in South Korea, okay. So what is networking? What are some things we do when we network? How do we define it? We're lawyers, so we're all about definitions, right? So how do we define it? Give me some words. What are the things that go into networking?
Quiet.
The way to talk to other people.
Ways to talk to other people, okay. What else?
And then keep contact with each other.
Okay, contact with each other. What else?
Introduce yourself to the professional environment.
That's really good. Introduce yourself. What else we do?
Use up your own net of resource.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think just that, like, we try to, you know, make connection between, you know, for example, if you do business in this, you know, some kind of building material, maybe your business maybe has some kind of service or material that can really link to that.
That's really good. I'm really happy you brought that up. Exactly. So maybe it's for business connections, business development, right? Okay, so networking is all of that. I think, in my own opinion, I think that in every culture we network because we are human beings, and there's something about being a human being that we are social beings. So we naturally gravitate towards other people. And those people who don't usually end up, like in the end of their life, they end up regretting it, or they end up in a place where they have nobody to hang out with, they have no friends, they have no business, probably no job. Because if you close yourself and you are an island and you think that you don't have to interact with other people, you're probably missing out on a lot of things you could be doing in your life, right? So we network, the word networking becomes so frightening when we come to this culture and we freeze ourselves and we think, oh my God, I have to network. It becomes like an obligation. But if you think about it, you've been doing it since you were 2 years old. The moment you enter your kindergarten and then, you know, your little boy or girl sitting next to you said, hi, my name is Gina, what's your name? That was networking. You were networking since you were 2 years old. I can guarantee you. The moment one of them said, hey, do you have a rabbit toy? Because I have a dog toy and I would like to exchange that. Well, guess what? You're exchanging merchandise when you're 2 years old and you're already networking, right? So you're using your connections to get what you want, to get your needs met, right? There is absolutely nothing difficult about it, nothing wrong about it. But what is wrong about it and what's difficult about it is when we make it an obligation. And that's when it becomes almost impossible, because when you freeze, then there's no way you can attract other people and there's no way you can interact, right? So by networking, we're really just doing what our species is supposed to be doing, which is interacting with each other. You know, it's a very natural thing. If you think of cavemen, you know, they were networking too, okay? They were networking too. Do you think people made fire or they invented the wheel, you know, all like by themselves? It was just one dude sitting there? No, other people cooperated. Other people gave ideas. A lot of people did it wrong, so they learned from other people. So even at that stage of our evolution, we were networking, okay? So everything is based on that. So the big word networking, you know, just defines the interactions, the shaking hands, the helping people, asking for favors, giving away favors, offering your best out there, getting the best out of others, you know, just meeting and doing all of that. So we don't use it only for jobs. We use it in so many different ways. I mean, we use it to get connections. We use it to make friends. We use it to find out who's the best hairdresser in town. We use it to find out where the chicks hang out. I have to cater to the girls on this side, to the boys on that side. So like when you move to a new town, how do you know where's the place to go, right? You're going to try to ask somebody, well, can you help me out? You know, I'm here. I don't know anything about this town. So we use it for so many different ways. And finding a job is just one more piece of the puzzle. It's just one more thing the networking can do for you. But it can do a lot more than that. Right? So the first thing I wanted to say on this handout, you're going to find that this handout is very unusual because I was in a funny mood when I typed this up. And there's a lot of jokes in here because I think that if I make this session very serious, it's going to be terribly boring and you're not going to learn how to network because network is supposed to be fun, right? So the handout is fun as well. So the first thing I want to say is that networking has no cost in terms of monetary value. You cannot say that you need to pay a fee to go shake hands with somebody. Nobody charges you yet. I mean, maybe if it's a celebrity, maybe they will charge you something. But most of the times, shaking hands with people have no cost, right? Now in swine flu season, you may have to buy yourself a little bit of this and a little bit of gel, which is probably like a $1 expense because you're going to be, you know, disinfecting your hands after you shake hands with people. No, I'm just joking. But there is absolutely no cost to networking. It doesn't cost you anything except a little bit of energy, right? And you can get that from coffee. Coffee is pretty safe and cheap. The other thing I wanted to say is that it can be done anywhere. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we have the impression that, talking about like networking for your job search, right? We have the impression that you're only going to meet people within the legal field, the legal environment, the legal areas here in DC. So for example, you're only going to meet good connections if you're going to the DC bar events. You're only going to meet good connections if you're going to the WCL conferences. I can tell you for sure, 100%, hi, welcome, join us. I can tell you 100% sure that's not true, okay? And I will tell you a couple of examples. Let me pass this to her. So, why is it that networking happens everywhere, anytime, anywhere? Because even though you're, for networking for your job search, you're trying to meet a lawyer. Lawyers are also human beings. They have hobbies. They go eat. They go exercise. The healthy ones go. The ones who are not healthy and don't go exercise, they go drink. The ones who are not healthy, exercising and not drinking, maybe in a cigar bar, smoking a cigar. The ones who are not smoking a cigar, drinking or eating or exercising, they may be riding a horse. They may be going to the hairdresser. They may be going to the supermarket, right? So is the law school and the bar association the only places where you're going to see lawyers roaming around? By all means, no. Okay, so lawyers are everywhere. People who know lawyers are everywhere. So don't take it for granted that you may be on a flight back home and somebody sitting next to you may be somebody who works for a grocery store, something completely unrelated to you, but they happen to have a cousin or, you know, a daughter or their father is a lawyer. And you start talking to them and you tell them exactly what you told me when you came in, which is you tell them your name, you tell them you're an attorney, you tell them you're doing a master's degree and that you're interested in this and this and this type of law. Of course, you don't ask them, do you know any lawyers? You know, I'm looking for a job, can you help me out? You don't do that. But you just introduce yourself. And it's like, I have experienced this a lot of many, many, many times where you just say you're a lawyer. First of all, in the US, it's a good thing to be a lawyer. In certain countries, it's not. But over here, when you say you're a lawyer, people are impressed. The first reaction you get is like, oh, wow, you're a lawyer. You know, in my country, you have so many law schools. Like, in my city, there's like 30 different law schools. People, in every corner, you're going to find lawyers. In Washington, too, you find a lot of lawyers, right? But in America, people are still impressed with the fact that you went to law school because most Americans don't do a graduate degree. So for them, it's like a very, very exciting thing to meet a lawyer. Now, to meet a lawyer from China, from Russia, from Belgium, from South Korea, oh, my God, then you made their day. You really did. So what I'm trying to say is it's fortunate for you that you can meet people anywhere, any place, but it's also fortunate for them to meet you. There's a lot they can learn from you. There's a lot they want to learn from you, most of the time. Of course, there's going to be one or two people who are just going to say, oh, I don't talk to foreigners, and they go away, right? But we don't care about them, and I'm going to teach you why we don't care about them later, okay? So basically, it can be done anywhere, anytime, and I say here in the handout, even from home. Why do I say even from home? Because there's internet, right? Everybody here has a computer. Everybody here has access to a computer, to internet. So basically, even if you're lazy and you're sitting home and you really don't feel like going to that bar association event or to that WCL lecture, oh, again, Adriana's going to do a career panel. Oh, my God, how boring can that be, right? Even if you don't want to come to our events and you don't want to put your face out there, even if you're terribly shy, you can definitely start online. How would you start to network online? Well, first of all, there are a couple of websites, right? Does everybody know about LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. Yes, LinkedIn, okay. So that's a professional network website where people just put their profiles out there and they join other people's networking connections to make professional connections. A lot of people use it for personal purposes too, and they pretend they're there to network, you know, to find business connections, but they end up finding boyfriends, girlfriends, you know, you name it. It's fine, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. The other place, of course, is Facebook. The other place is MySpace. The other place is, you name it. Like, I was just talking to you the other day, and you told me that in Russia there's a completely different type of Facebook. Can you introduce yourself? Name, where are you from, and area of expertise?
I am Yelena. I'm from Russia. And here I am within a Humphrey program, which is a program by U.S. Department of State, the Bureau of Exchange and Cultural Program. And I'm here on a law program here at WCL, and we are 10 lawyers from 10 different countries, and some of you might have seen us already during classes. So
thank you so much.
I teach lawyers back home.
Actually. Thank you so much. It's very exciting to have you. Thank you so much. So she was telling me the other day that in Russia they have a completely different networking site that is kind of like a Facebook, but it's a little bit different. So in my country they have one too that is different. So basically, can you do it from home? Yes, you can. At some point, you're going to have to go meet people. But nowadays, you know, the way internet is, you really can start. Now, what are the proper things to do? Well, first of all, when you are networking with people online, you got to be careful about the things you're putting in your profile. I would say it would be interesting to have a completely personal profile where you put the pictures of your friends, you put your pictures of your dogs, you put your pictures of when you were drunk last time in a party, and you know, and that is just for you and your friends. And I think that you should have one just for professional networking purposes where you portray yourself as a more serious, more professional individual, and people who have access to to that won't have access to all of the fun stuff that you do. It's not that being a lawyer you cannot be fun, but sometimes, you know, if there is a picture of you drunk in a party, dressed in a different way, you know, it may discourage a law firm from wanting to hire you. So you want to be professional when you interact with professional contacts. The other thing to be careful is who you meet. You know, make sure that if you set up a meeting with somebody you met online, you want to meet in a public place, you want to make sure that person actually works in a law firm. You know, you want to go to the firm's website and find that that person is a lawyer, not somebody trying to lure you into anything. Those are the basic things. The other thing is there are blogs online, and that can help law students a lot. Because if you blog about a certain area of law, and your name becomes repeatedly appearing in that website, people start knowing you as a person who actually has an interest in that area. So, for example, there is a very prominent antitrust blog that students who like antitrust can go and debate issues and everything. And not only students are on that blog, but very senior lawyers, very interesting and experienced lawyers are there debating as well. So basically, if you find a blog or a website where this type of debate and exchange, you know, happens, that's networking from your own chair at home. And that's like, even if you don't know anything about the topic, read the postings, ask people who posted, ask some questions. Bless you. And when you interact with them, you know, of course you're not going to say, I don't know anything about this, please help me out. No, you read a little bit about it. And if you have a question, you introduce yourself. You use that question to introduce yourself. So basically, every time you ask a question, be it in person, be it in a conference, or be online, it would be interesting for you to say, hi, my name is so-and-so, I am a law student from blah, 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 I'm already a lawyer in China, or I'm already a lawyer in Russia, I'm already a lawyer in Korea, or in Belgium, and I am really interested in asking you about this topic because I'm interested in learning more about this, this, and this, and you ask. So why are you introducing yourself and taking the time to do that? Because it doesn't go unnoticed, where are you from, that you are already an attorney, and maybe that person was just looking to make a connection with somebody just like you and you didn't know about. So those are like little skills that I think I want you to walk out of here knowing that every introduction you make is one opportunity to be closer to the job that you're looking for, because it could be anywhere. It could be in a blog, it could be in the supermarket, anywhere. But it's important to know how to introduce yourself. And I think that all of you who are here did it very well, very, very well. So there's no reason to think that this cannot be done outside of this environment as well. Okay? So why would we network? It's free. There's no cost. You can do it anywhere, anytime, in the supermarket, at the gym. The gym is a great place to meet lawyers, by the way. Because people are there, like, and they get bored, like, waiting for the machines to free up or something, and you can definitely network that way. But why is it very effective for job search? Because you're going to be very surprised about this. 90%, I'm going to put this number here, 90%, and this is according to a book that I'm going to recommend to you as well, that does the statistics on this. They say, I don't know exactly how they measure this, but they say that 90% of the jobs filled are never, ever, ever advertised. Okay? So, this is a very large number. So, if the jobs that are being filled all the time, especially in this recession, right, they're being filled and they're not being advertised, how are those people getting those jobs? How are those people even applying if nobody knows there's a job there? They're not advertising, they're not telling anybody. How do they know? Well, they know it because they talk to somebody in that organization. They talk to somebody in the field, and it's what we call word of mouth, which is one person tells the other, and then there's no reason to pay a fee to advertise in the Washington Post. There's no reason to look at 1,000 resumes. There's no reason for any of that. Why? Because somebody that they knew told them, well, I have this brilliant student from China. She's been here doing her LLM, and she's eager to work as an intern in a project just like this. So let me send you her resume, and maybe this is going to be a good fit. And guess what? When you apply for a job that was not advertised, which is when people tell you about it, or your professor forwards your resume, or I help you by knowing that somewhere there's people hiring somebody just like you, definitely you're going to be one of the only people they're looking at. So instead of, when you advertise a job these days, like you can get up to 1,000 resumes, right? So if you apply for a job that is advertised, you definitely have this big number, and your resume is just going to be one in the middle of all that pile. However, when the job has never been advertised, I am 100% sure that probably two or three resumes are being seen only for that position. So which way is better? Which way is more effective? Right? Definitely by talking to people, by networking. Okay? So how do we do this? What happens, you know, when you really don't know any leads and you don't know where to start? That's what exactly what we're talking about today. My belief is this. You don't need to go around telling people that you're looking for a job. That's really not the purpose of this. But knowing people and letting them know your interests and letting them know that you are exploring opportunities, that you are here only for a year, which gives people a time frame that, like, well, they can take forever to help you. It's very interesting, the reaction when you tell people what you're interested in. Immediately, they search their minds. I mean, you guys do it too. You search your mind for somebody you know who has the same interests, right? When you meet somebody and you say, oh, I'm really interested in fashion, you think of all your friends back in law school or your family or somebody you know here who's really fashionable too. And you almost like, it's almost like a natural human thing that you want to connect those people, right? So what happens is it's networking can be a contamination exercise, okay? So the way it works is like this. Let's say I'm a student, right? I'm here. So I'm the WSL student. Okay, I'm a woman, so I'm going to put like a little dress here. Okay, so, and I got long hair. Okay, so this is the WSL student. What happens is we have an event here, and we have, you know, those career panels I do, and we have a table with three alums. Okay, so this student goes shake hands with this one alum. And then after that panel, they exchange contact information, or maybe this student took a note of the name of the firm where this person works, so they, after the session, they can go on the firm's website. So after this, there's going to be some follow-up, and these people are going to meet again, just the two of them. They're going to meet again, and they're going to have a coffee, right? And I'm going to teach you how to, you know, get people to have coffee with you. So two people met, and they're having a cup of coffee. Okay. So the student from WCL is telling the alum what her interests are, that she's interested in human rights, that she came here to specialize because Dean Grossman really is very famous in human rights and we have a great human rights program, and that she's only here for a year and she's really interested in getting more opportunities for her career while she's here. And then this person is going to say, wow, it just so happens that I've been doing human rights for 20 years. And, you know, it would be interesting if you met my friend who is doing human trafficking issues, and then my other friend who is doing impact litigation, and then my other friend who's dealing with detainees' rights, okay? So what happens is, by meeting this one alum for coffee, this person here, the one with the big hair and the dress, she's going to have a network. By one coffee, she got a network of four people together, right? And then what do you think is going to happen if she goes for coffee with this person? She's going to meet at least two or three more people. And then this person, and she's going to meet at least two or three more people, right? So that's how you expand your network. But then what happens? This person here, the girl with the dress and the big hair, she's trying to meet this person and this person and this person, and this last person here, he's at the bottom of the food chain here because he turns out to be a very grumpy guy. He really doesn't want to meet with the students. He tells her, well, I'm really not into talking to students. You know, I don't think that this is going to be a good use of my time. Like one lawyer, when I was networking and I was an LM student, he said, I'm a partner in a law firm. Why would I use my time talking to you? That's what he told me. Right? So, this person happens to be that guy. So what is this girl going to do? Is she going to go home and start crying and never network ever again?
No.
Girls, no. Boys, no. So what do? You just cross this person. And I'm doing this on the board because I want you to practice this. Whenever there is somebody in your life who's negative and is having a negative impact on you in any type of situation, okay, this can be used for job search, but for many other things as well, okay? If they tell you, you know what, number one, LLMs never get jobs. Number two, LLMs never get visas. Number three, LLMs never do blah, 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 blah. What do we do with that person? I give you this pen and you go cross them out. Okay? Why? Because that's a contaminated person who's going to contaminate you with negativity. And right now, we're all about contamination prevention with swine flu. And we also have to, like, discontaminate us ourselves from negativity. Okay? So, what happens is, what I'm trying to teach you is this. when we make a list of all the people we want to meet, all the people we want to have coffee with, all the people that this alum recommended to you, if there is one person who tells you, and out of 10 people, I can really tell you that out of 10 people, maybe one is going to do that. Okay, so the ratio is like you have 9 successes, 9 positive experiences for one not so positive experience. Okay, so whenever that happens, don't get discouraged. Okay, just cross that person out and move on and focus on all the other good ones that you met. Okay, so by doing this, let's say you set yourself a goal as an LLM student to meet one lawyer a week. By meeting one lawyer a week, just do the math of being here for a year. How many people are you going to meet? Right? I'm not good in math, but you do it. So by the end of your LLM, you're going to have at least this. Every person that you see here on the board, knowing what your interests are, that you are smart, that you speak this and this languages. And I can assure you that by doing this, at the end of 6 months, at the end of a year, most lawyers, because Washington is a very close community, most lawyers in D.C. are going to know exactly what you are about. And if any job that is not advertised, like I was saying, shows up on the radar of any of those people, they will remember you. Okay? Now, any questions as far as like how this works and why? Okay. So this makes sense. I think that this is a pretty logical, you know, way. So all of these circles here and these little people that I drew, these are the people who know about that hidden job market, about the 90% jobs that are being filled without being advertised. Okay, these are the people who know. So you have to go ahead and contaminate all these people with your positivity and your skills and what you are interested in and who you are and where are you coming from and all of that. So all these people here, they need to know that. If you stay home and you don't tell anybody and you keep it a secret, all these people here are ready to help you, but they don't even know where to find you, right? So we can't keep ourselves a secret from the world, right? Go out there and tell people. Now, of course, when you're telling all these people, you're not saying, hey, hi, how are you? Let's get a coffee. I want a decaf cappuccino. Can you give me a job? That's really not what we do. But we introduce ourselves. We talk, right? We find topics for conversation. So a lawyer who practices human rights probably wants to talk about human rights. A lawyer who practices antitrust wants to talk about antitrust. If I don't know anything about it, before I go talk to this person, I'm going to prepare myself a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit about it. You don't need to be an expert. You really don't, because you have a very beautiful title right now, which I miss very much having that title, which is the title of... Starts with an S. Of a student. Okay? When you have this title, you can ask anything you want, and you can use that title all over town to tell people, I want to learn. I'm here because I want to learn. So when you put yourself in that position, nothing you can say is a stupid statement, because you're already telling people, I don't know. I'm here to learn. I want to learn from you. So that's what you're going to say. Instead of saying, oh, I want a job. I want to work. I want, you know, I'm desperate. All the economy. Oh, you know, nobody can find a job. No, you're going to say, I want to learn. I want to learn from you. I want to talk to you over coffee because I want you to tell me what is your experience with this area of law that I'm just studying right now. People love talking about their experience. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because, again, we are humans, right? And lawyers who are very successful have a lot of work. They have a lot of stress. Right? Usually, a lot of people have a lot of stress in their work. They come home and they start telling their wives or their husbands or their partners or their friends about the stresses of their job. Do you think those people want to hear that? No. I mean, the first year, maybe. After 20 years of marriage, like the wife, I mean, they start talking about their lives and at work. The wife is already out the door walking the dog in the neighborhood. Okay? So when you, a young attorney, come to them with all your energy and your enthusiasm and you say, I want to learn from you. I want to hear about your experience. Can you imagine what a thrill that is for a guy who's bored 20 years doing the same thing? I mean, you just made their day. All they want is somebody to sit in front of them and listen. Okay, so it's really like it's free therapy. You know, people charge $300 an hour for that in the sound. Okay, and you're offering it for free. Right? So when people say to me, oh, but I'm going to go meet with a lawyer for coffee. I don't know what to say. I'm so nervous. I don't know what to say. Well, guess what? Lawyers brag about themselves all the time. You don't need to say anything. All you need to say is, hi, my name is Adriana Vito, and I'm here to learn about your experience in international trade law. You sit down, I can guarantee you, it's an hour of talking, 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 and all you have to say, all you have to do is nod. Okay? And people will love, the more quiet you are, people, the more people will love you because they get to talk more. Okay? Because when they come home on the weekend in a barbecue, they can talk about their stuff. People get bored of them. But you are offering a fresh start for them to start talking about that stuff. Okay? So that changes the perspective a little bit. I think that you are doing much more of a favor to them than they're doing a favor to you. Okay? And I've had, believe me, I've had many people tell me this. When I used to be a student, I used to be very bold because I'm not shy. So sometimes I would just throw myself into these ABA meetings where there's only like senior lawyers there. You can see everybody's like, you know, very senior with all due respect, but very also sometimes discouraged about the profession. And if you get somebody like that, those are the best people to talk to, because a lot of times the fact that you're helping them and you're offering some positive view on what they're doing, you're helping them with their daily lives afterwards. You know, and they become your best friends. Whenever you say, well, but that's really not, you see, like, I'm just starting in this area, and I find it interesting that you have so much experience and you are discouraged. You know, you just change, try to change it around for them, and then you have a lot to offer, because being young and starting out, you have a lot more energy than anybody else that they interact with, right? Because if they're senior, they're just interacting with people like themselves, right? Okay, so that's the positive contamination, and then we gotta contain the negative contamination by crossing people out. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's pass this hand out to him. Okay, so basically, the other bullet point that is there, I already addressed with you, which is that 90% of the jobs are not advertised. And by contaminating people with what you're interested in, this is how you're going to get referrals, and this is how you're going to learn about what's out there. Okay? The beauty of it is, especially if somebody decides to help you and forward your resume around, the beauty of it is that the person who receives a resume forwarded by somebody they know, they have an obligation to at least look at that resume. Okay, they're not obliged to hire you, but they have an obligation to look at the resume. When you apply for a job posting, people are not obliged at all. Sometimes they just look and they say, oh, I don't like the font in this resume, and never read anything. Okay, but when people, like if it's a professor who forwards your resume around, I mean, of course, if Professor Bradlow forwarded it to somebody, right, that person is going to say, oh my God, Professor Bradlow asked me to look at this person. Of course, I need to at least look. So that's the least you're going to get, right? So it's a pain that you... You missed my negative shield here. Like I was shielding this guy who's negative out of this whole thing here. So I'm going to teach you afterwards. Don't worry. Anyway, so what are the excuses that we have when we are networking? We're trying to network and we are not being able to do it. What are the things you say to yourself? Tell me a little bit. Be honest. Like we're in an open session. It's fine.
For myself, I don't like to brag myself. You know, especially if I say, oh, I can do this, I can do that. So. But I learned that, you know, over here, you need to kind of express yourself instead mm-hmm. of just brag, but say, express myself.
Exactly. That's a very good one. You know why? Because everybody in this room was not born in America, right? Myself included. So that's a huge cultural difference where sometimes in our countries, in our culture, we're expected to be humble, we're expected mm-hmm. to not brag, we're expected to be very simple about our things and be very careful how we talk to people. And over here, lawyers in particular, you know, this is very peculiar to our cultural, the culture of our profession in the United States. Lawyers are expected to be public figures here. You see that most politicians here are lawyers, right? So it's like you are expected to be the rainmaker, the networker, the person who knows everybody, the life of the party. You know, you're expected to be like that, to have a very outgoing personality. And talking about your achievements kind of goes with that, right? And a lot of people here really brag, you know, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, even for us when we first got here, to be listening to that. Because it's like, well, do you really have to tell me that you make $300,000 a year? You know, like, I have friends who just meet me, like, the person just met me, and they're already telling me how much they make. If it's a lot. If it's little, they won't talk about it. Right? If it's little, nobody talks about it. But the friends I have who are great friends of mine who make $10 an hour, they don't talk about the $10 an hour. But the ones who make $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, oh, that's the first thing out of their mouths. And in the beginning, when I first came here, I used to be very offended by that, because in my country it's really rude to talk about how much you make or to ask how much you make. But here, it's just natural for them. It's part of the culture. So thank you so much for saying that, because it's really a cultural difference when it comes to talking about your achievements and what you've done. It's expected of us to do that in this culture. So what are the other things? I put some here just to help you out, and the one you said is over here. If you take a look at the handout, let's get rid of the excuses that you have. What are the excuses? And I put here everything I hear from students, okay? The first thing I hear is, I'm shy. I'm really shy. I cannot do this. The other thing I hear is, I don't know anybody. I really don't know anybody. Okay. I don't want to talk to strangers. Okay, that's what I hear all the time. I don't want to be rejected. What if they say no? Okay. I don't want to seem weak or stupid. And people say that to me all the time when I tell them that they need to ask for help, but there is a way to ask for help. You don't obviously ask for help. You kind of hiddenly you ask for help. In my culture, it is rude to brag or promote oneself. I was taught to be modest. That's exactly what we're talking about. I don't like the idea of begging for a job. I had one of the girls that I told her we needed to look into this book. It looks like a Yellow Pages, okay? And I gave her this book that has the lists of lawyers practicing in her area, in antitrust, that she wanted to do. And she told me, are you telling me to go begging people from the Yellow Pages for a job? And I was like, no, I'm just telling you to call them, go for coffee, contaminate them with your knowledge, tell them what you want to do in life, right? So it's not begging, it's something very different, right? And I don't want to use people. Some people see networking as you're using people, okay? So I'm going to go one by one in these and tell you a little bit about, you know, how we should think about this. So the first thing is, I am shy, okay? How many of you here think you're shy? You're so shy you don't want to tell me, of course. I mean, that's a really stupid question to ask, because people who are shy don't want to tell. They're so shy they don't even say they're shy to say they're shy, right? Okay. So every time I ask this question, nobody raises their hand. It's really cute. But a lot of people think of themselves as shy, and you can be anonymous shy. That's fine. So what I invite you to do, if you're very, very shy, okay, I try to put myself in your shoes. So if you're really shy and you're afraid to talk to people, if you think about, well, I have to meet 500 people and I'm really shy, you're going to kill yourself, because that's so much stress right there, right? But if you think for yourself, if there is, like, let's say there is a reception here at WCL, the reception is going to last 1 hour, okay? That's too much. If you're shy, that's too much to deal with. 1 hour is a lot. It's overwhelming, right? 1 hour of talking to complete strangers, oh, my God, you know, very, very bad. But I invite you to do this. Tell yourself that you are going to be a less shy person just for 10 minutes inside that 1 hour opportunity that you have. And you're just going to make a goal of walking around that reception and talking to just one person. Just one person. Start very small. Of course, this 10 minutes and that one person, hopefully, in the next reception is going to be 2 people in 20 minutes, right? So if you're shy, just let's go step by step, very little by little. If you're shy, the other thing you can do is stay within the safety of the network of our school. Why is that? Because this school is so different than other schools. The school I went to, we were in Gainesville, Florida. Okay, there's this law school, then there's a lake full of alligators, and that's all we had. Okay, that's all we had. So you could network with the alligators, and you could network, right? They loved, yeah, the alligators loved my dog, so I knew all of them by name, because I had a little dog, and they were all, like, looking at the dog for a meal, right? So you could network with the alligators, or you could network with the professors, but that's pretty much it. Okay. Now, when I came to work here, I thought to myself, oh my God, the students have so much more than we ever had. Because here, we're in Washington, right? I mean, the law school is in a place where around us we just have houses. But if you take the N4 bus, you end up downtown. And that's where you have all the law firms, all the things happening around you, right? So basically, use that to think to yourself that this is, it's okay, you're shy, okay? And you know, you want to start little by little. But tell yourself, I already have this network. You are not talking to strangers, especially when you are inside this building. If you are inside this building and somebody comes here to give a speech, or there's an alumni event and we have 30 alums and 100 new students, I mean, those alums are not strangers. They sat on the same chairs you're sitting right now, right? So I don't consider those people strangers, right? So when you are very shy, one of the things you can do, start small, as I said, one person at a time, 10 minutes at a time. The second thing you can do is stay within the network, at least in the beginning. So if you're afraid of meeting people outside of here, you know, just meet people inside here. And just by staying in this building, you have enough. You're not surrounded by alligators like we were. Okay, in this building, you have people coming here all the time. I mean, every week I look at the calendar, there's at least 3 or 4 different panels going on. So if you're a shy person, that's a very good opportunity to say, hey, a panelist is very safe. The panelist is never going to be rude to you. And if they are, you can just come to our office and tell us, and we are going to talk to that person for sure. Okay? It's never happened. I've been here for 4 or 5 years. Never happened. But if it happens, just come and tell us. And if somebody's rude to you and you are shy and you are afraid, you know, the worst case scenario is you just walk away. You say, oh, excuse me, I need to go to the restroom. And disappear. Okay? You don't need to stay there. If it's uncomfortable, you don't need to stay there. So what I'm trying to say is, when you're shy, a couple of things go a long way. Number one, little by little goes a long way. Number two, stay within the network. We already provide you with contacts. You don't need to work so hard as to meet complete strangers. Okay? Anybody you meet in this building is not going to be a complete stranger. If you're shy, start here. If you're not shy, like Peter's not shy, I know that, go to the outside world and then try to meet people from the outside world. But for the people who are shy, that's a goal in a little bit in the future. You can do it too, but it's going to be a little bit more in the future. Right? And the other thing is, if you're shy, I want you to all think about this, the shy and the non-shy. When you talk to somebody, if it's a bad experience, what's the worst that can happen to you? What's the worst that can happen? Somebody. I'm sorry?
Suicide.
No. No, because in the law school, you don't have the means to do that. Our windows are closed. Even if you want to jump out of the window, you can't. You can't, okay? My cell phone was not functioning one day. I wanted to throw it out the window. I couldn't because you can't open it. You can't open it. No, I'm joking. Okay, no. That is a joke. We're not going to suicide ourselves over networking. But what is the worst that can happen? You go to a reception and you talk to somebody and that person is rude, arrogant. They don't want to talk to you. What's the worst that can happen?
Desire.
The worst that can happen is you get discouraged, mm-hmm. right? You walk away. Mm-hmm. Does that change who you are? Mm-hmm. No. Does that say anything about you? No. The fact that somebody was rude to you or somebody said, like the guy said to me over the phone, I'm a partner. Why am I going to talk to you? You're just a student, right? I mean, does that change who I am? Well, we did for like 60 seconds or so. Like, I got really sad. But after 60 seconds, I was like, I'm recording, so I can't say what I thought, but yes. I thought, you know, you should go take a hike. Yes. So that doesn't change, you know, the worst case scenario is you have like a 5 or 6 minutes of uncomfortable interaction. But then there is always the bathroom excuse. There is always the refresh my drink excuse. And what do? You walk away. Okay, you walk away. If somebody's rude to you, you're not going to be rude back and just disappear, but you're going to say, excuse me, I really need to use the restroom right now. Get away. Excuse me, oh, you know what, I'm really thirsty, I need to get a drink. Hold on just 1 second, I'll be right back. Never come back. Never come back. Okay, because if the person's being rude, what's the point? But you don't need to be rude back, right, because that reflects bad on you. But you just walk away. So the worst case scenario is you're going to walk away. And that's not bad at all. Because you're still walking. You're still the same person. Nothing changed. Right? You just met one more rude person. One more person for us to cross out with our ex. Right? That doesn't matter. Okay, so what else? So that's the shy thing. I hope that the people who are shy feel a little less shy now. The other thing is I don't know anybody. So as I said, we are in an environment where anybody who comes to this building, you know, is already known to you because they're known to us. And we're inviting them because they prove to us that they have something good to say, they have done good in their careers, they've done well in their careers, and they're open to talking to students, otherwise they wouldn't even come to the building, right? That guy that I called and told me he doesn't talk to students, he's in a law firm. I went all the way there to his office to try to talk to him. That's a different story. The people who come here, they're pretty safe. I mean, they're pretty safe that they want to contribute, they want to interact with students, otherwise they really wouldn't come here. So if you stay within this network to start, it's pretty safe. I mean, when you say you don't want to talk to strangers, well, alumni are definitely not going to be strangers to you. They really want to meet you. They want to talk to you. Professors the same way, okay? Other colleagues from the JD program the same way. So nobody in this building is going to be a total stranger, okay? You start with them, and then they refer you to people they know. And because you're being referred, those people are not complete strangers either, because you're being referred by somebody they know, right? So that's, you know, to network, you don't need to talk to strangers. You talk to people you know. What else? I don't want to be rejected. What if they say no? Like I said, what's the worst case scenario? If you say, oh, I would love to go for a coffee with you just to discuss the practice area that you do, and people say, I don't have the time, I'm not interested. I mean, I beg you like to try this and see that people are never going to say that. The worst that can happen is they will try to postpone it and they won't respond to you. And that is a very soft rejection in a sense that it dilutes itself. You're never going to hear no. I mean, I think I was the only person in the world who heard this from a partner who said, no, I don't talk to students. But if you hear that, what's the worst case scenario? I mean, nothing happens. Nothing it doesn't change your grades. It doesn't change how much money you make. It doesn't change, you know, anything. It doesn't increase your rent or your insurance. Nothing. I mean, it doesn't change your life in anything. If people say no to you, just keep on going, okay? The other thing that I hear is I don't want to seem weak or stupid because I know less than the person I am asking to meet with. Right? Well, that's the point, and that's the beauty of your status as a student, right? Take advantage of the fact that you don't know, because then people want to talk to you. If you come to somebody and you say, you know what, let's say this is the case, I know everything there is to be known about human rights law, and I want to meet with you to discuss what you do. Do you think people want to meet with you if you say that? No, because they're going to be intimidated. They're going to say, well, if you know everything, what do I have to contribute, right? But if you say, you know what, I know a little bit about human rights law. I have been studying at WCL for 6 months, and I really feel that if I talk to you, I can learn even more. I mean, who wouldn't like to be in that chair talking to you and letting you learn more, right? So that's another thing. I mean, it's really like you don't need to know as much as the person on the other side of the table. You are a student, and you can just do that to learn. The thing about bragging, like she said, in my culture, we don't brag, you know. It's like here it's rude to brag too, but it is okay to highlight your achievements. Okay? That's a better way to put it. You're not bragging, because bragging then, you know, gets to a point where it's rude. But you are just highlighting the things you did. Why are you doing that in a social situation when you meet somebody? You're doing that because when you meet somebody, you don't have your resume stamped on your t-shirt. So there's no way, except that there was one girl, and actually was in the paper, that she actually put her resume in a t-shirt, and she went to the supermarket, and she went everywhere with the t-shirt, and finally she got a job because of that t-shirt. So it was all over the news. I'll send you the article. It's really fun. So you're not doing that. You're just dressed normal, no t-shirt with resumes, right? So if I am a lawyer and I have this practice area that I am working with, and I have a case, I can give you an internship to work in that case. If I don't know what you've done back home, if I don't know who you are, I can't offer you that, right? So you're really not bragging, but you're just telling people. It's part of introducing yourself. You know, it just so happens that we happen to be in a society here, in this little piece of society that we have here, where all of you are very high achievers, right? Because just to come to another country and be accepted in a program not in your language, right? To be able to take classes, to be able to be a lawyer back home. Some of us are judges back home, you know. Some of us are more chic. No, I'm just joking. But some of us have a lot more to sell. Some of us, no, I'm just joking. Everybody has a lot to sell. And I feel that we are very privileged to just, you know, be here in this little piece of society. So people want to hear about your achievements. You're not bragging. You're just introducing yourself. Okay, so it's definitely not bragging. And in this culture, it's expected of lawyers to have that type of personality. It's expected that lawyers know how to talk. Lawyers know how to introduce themselves. That's the very minimum that we expect from lawyers here, right? Being the life of the party is also expected, but that's a different level, right? But at the minimum level, we say, well, if you're a lawyer, you need to know how to speak, how to introduce yourself, how to interact, right? So you're definitely not bragging. Don't be afraid of that. The other thing is I don't want to beg for a job, and I don't want to ask people for help, and I don't want to use them, right? Well, let me ask you something. When you want to find out who's the best hairdresser in town, right, and you ask somebody for a recommendation, do you feel like you're begging? No. Do you feel like you're using them? No. Do you feel like you're doing something illegal, like something wrong, something that it's going to be against your culture? Do you feel stupid because you don't know where the hairdresser is? No. So with networking is the same thing. If you're just asking somebody, hey, by the way, you've been in this town for quite a while. Do you know anybody I could talk to about antitrust? Do you know anybody I could talk to about international trade law? Do you know any lawyer who has been doing anti-dumping with China in my country? Because I want to do trade. I would love to meet a lawyer who does that. I mean, it's the same thing as asking for, do you know who the best hairdresser in town is? The tone is actually the same, right? And people feel useful to you. That doesn't make them feel used, but they feel that they're contributing, that they're helping. So you're actually giving them a chance to exercise the knowledge and the network that they already have. So you're doing them a favor. Again, you're contributing instead of begging for something. And you're definitely never, one word that's never going to come out of your mouth or one phrase is, I need help finding a job, or help me find a job, or I want a job, or can you give me a job? Those phrases are not going to come out of your mouth ever when you're networking. You're just going to say, I am really eager to learn more about this area of law. This is my specialization. Okay, so I've been repeating this a lot just to drive home the point, right? So, the one exercise I want to do, because before everybody falls asleep because I've been talking too much, I want to change your frame of mind about networking, right? And one thing, and this is going to be a secret document. I'm not going to look at it. You're the only person who's going to look at this, so don't be shy, okay? And be ethical and don't spy on your friend's documents, okay? So let's do a little exercise, okay? And let's think about all of the good things, or some of the good things, or at least three good things that you feel you can offer to a lawyer in town who's working in DC. Okay, so I'll give you some examples. The fact that you speak foreign languages, can that be useful for somebody here? Sure. Okay, so I gave you one answer already. So let's write over here, just so you can take this home, because I really want you to feel that you have a lot to offer, because I believe that you do. Okay? So just give me like three things, and this is going to be a secret. Don't be shy, because it's you're the only person who's going to read it. Okay, so as you're filling it out, I'm going to tell you what I thought when I was an LLM, just to help people if you got stuck, right? So what are the things that when I was an LLM, I learned that we can offer, and what are the things that I still believe that LLMs can offer, and SJDs, and any foreign lawyer coming here? The first thing that you can offer, okay, and these are part of the great things. And let me tell you, you are so lucky to be in D.C. Because in D.C., you have people doing international human rights, you have people doing international development, you have people doing international arbitration, you have people doing international trade, international antitrust, cross-border transactions. I mean, all of this involves other countries, right? Back home in Gainesville with the alligators, the only lawyers I could find were lawyers doing divorce cases, family law, bankruptcy sometimes, very local banking, you know, issues, landlord-tenant disputes. And it was difficult for me to make those people believe I could intern for them and I could help them, okay? Now over here, it's a different story. So we're very fortunate to be over here. So one of the great things that we can offer as foreign lawyers is the mere fact that we are foreign. That sometimes doesn't come as an obvious realization to you. But to an attorney in Washington who wants to do anything related to anything international, okay, the fact that you are foreign actually helps them a great deal. Why? Because when they try to get a foreign client and they tell the client, by the way, I have foreign lawyers in our staff, just by saying that, even if you're just sitting there doing nothing, just the fact that you are in the building makes clients feel more comfortable, because this is a firm who's truly international. Because sometimes clients who are foreign, they don't want to walk into a firm where all the stiff Americans are going to be around, and they're not going to understand the cultural differences and everything. So just the fact that you are foreign, that you are international, okay, that you lived abroad, that can be a very rich resource for a law firm or for an international organization, of course, and an NGO. Okay, so to an employer, this can be, they can hire you just for that. The other thing is, I don't know if you've ever heard about diversity, and if you know what that means. Diversity means having lawyers or having employees, not only lawyers, but employees from all different religions, all different backgrounds, all different races, right? All different cultures. And in the United States, diversity is something that is very much in fashion right now. And not only in fashion, but law firms, for example, they have to report how many diverse lawyers they have. And if they have very little, clients are firing them. Okay, I'll give you an example. Walmart, for example, came to the law firm that takes care of their business. Walmart, of course, has the general counsel inside Walmart, but they outsource a whole bunch of stuff as well. They came to this firm that was doing this for them and said, listen, we looked at your profile, and your law firm is not diverse enough for us. So either you change that within a year, and you have your staff be more diverse. In other words, hire more international people, hire more Hispanics, more African Americans, more GLBT staff. I mean, hire people from different areas, different backgrounds, different races, different ethnicities. Otherwise, we're firing you. And they gave them about a year, right? So clients are demanding that firms and employers have diversity. And guess what? Being foreign, being different, helps them. Okay, you are helping them by offering your own, just by the fact that you were born somewhere else, you're already helping them. Okay, the other thing that is great about LLMs, us included, is the language skills. So make sure that in your resume and when you talk to people, you let them know the languages you speak. I mean, for you who speak Russian and you can read the Russian alphabet, I mean, for an American institution that wants to do a report on Russian human rights, wants to do anything related to Russian, I mean, how hard it is to find an American lawyer who can read Cyrillic, who can read other alphabets, who can speak Russian. I mean, it's impossible. It's much easier to just go and get somebody who already came from there. Not only the language you can offer, but you offer the culture behind the language. So in other words, if there is somebody trying to expand their business or get clients in your country, you can teach those lawyers, those American lawyers, those people who were born in the south of Virginia in a small town who would never know how to behave in your culture, you can teach them, you can help them know, you can tell them about your culture, right? So that's rich in itself, and that's a huge skill. The other thing we can offer, and that's not only foreign lawyers, but you know, young lawyers or young professionals in general, is our energy. Okay? When people have been doing things for a long time, they lose energy. So the fact that you are fresh in the market, that you want to learn, that you're eager to know things, you're eager to get experience, you're offering all your best to somebody, right? That is one thing that we take it for granted, because when you're young, you have so much energy that you don't think that that's a great resource, but it is, okay? So I'm telling you this because the way people perceive energy, okay, this is a little abstract, right? But the languages are going to be written in your resume, but the fact that you have great energy is not. So one way people in America perceive good energy is when you smile, okay? So when you smile, it's very simple, okay? I have a student, I'm not going to name, of course, out of ethic purposes, but I have a student that I do a lot for her. I help her a lot. I got her a lot of interviews. We did resume reviews. She went and networked with all the friends I had in town. I gave her a list of 20 people. I never got one smile from that girl. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. I've never seen that person smile. Never. Okay, so it got to a point where after 6 months of helping her and not getting one smile, I told her, I was like, look, I'm doing so much for you and you never smiled. I said, I just wonder, like, what does somebody have to do to get a smile out of you? And, you know, imagine how employers feel. It's like they offer you this great salary, this great job, right? And you don't even smile to say thanks. So it could be a cultural thing. It could be that in her country, you know, it's just, people are just that very serious, they just don't smile. But in this culture, I can tell you for sure that a smile goes a long way. you can see Americans smile all the time, even when it's fake, but they smile, right? They have a nice day attitude. Sometimes it's very fake, but it's pleasant. It can be fake, but it's still pleasant. It's still more pleasant to have a fake smile than have no smile at all. Okay, so that's how people perceive energy. So if you need to write down the things that you can offer, okay, these, I cannot guarantee you that everybody in this room has this to offer. Okay? So that's a good exercise. Why am I having you write it on paper? Because a lot of times you hear me say things about you that you have to offer, that it's great, but you don't believe me. You really don't believe me. So if you wrote it down yourself, I hope you're going to read it to yourself. And when you go to a reception or you meet a lawyer from the United States, you're going to remember all the good things about you that you can offer. Okay, and don't be shy about telling them about it, and don't ever think that people won't value this, because they will. And if they're not valuing it, it's because they're not smart enough to recognize how good it is to have you work for them. Okay? And you know those painters who are absolutely brilliant, but they only sell paintings 20 years after they're dead? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's the same thing with LLMs. Okay? So it's a lot of times you would be very good for a firm or a company or an NGO. And if they're not perceiving that, it's because they're not evolved enough to notice, okay? They're not smart enough to notice. But then, if that's the case, don't waste time with them and just go to the next one who will value, because you do have a lot of good things to offer, okay? So the next exercise, okay, I get it. I have to network. But I still don't like to do it, okay? So if you are saying that secretly to yourself, okay? I want you to please take 2 minutes or 30 seconds, since we're out of time, to write down the reasons, after all that I said to you today. Is there anything that I said that convinced you that you should make an effort to network? Okay? Is there anything I said? So I want you to write it down. Please, 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 please. You're not being graded on this, but it will help you later if you write it down. Write down one of the things, or two, or three, that convinced you that this is something you need to be doing. This is going to help you whenever you don't feel like going to a reception, whenever you don't feel like introducing yourself to another lawyer, whenever you feel like you just have nothing to offer, no energy. Then you're going to read this, hopefully. You keep this a secret in your purse, and you pick it up and you read it, and you're like, oh, okay, I need to do it because, and one of the first things I would write is, 90% of the jobs are filled through networking. And that's a reason enough to get you dressed, get your makeup on, and go network. Right? Can anybody share with me the reasons they wrote down? Or at least one?
I think for me, at least, you know, I get, even though I don't get any job, but if I get connections, friends, partners, or even t-shirts, it will be great.
For awesome.
Me. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. That's a really right attitude, because it's like, if you focus, networking is only good for me if I get a job out of it. That's the wrong attitude, because of course, out of 20 people you meet, you're not going to get 20 job offers, right? But you're going to get connections. You're going to get friends. You're not going to feel lonely in this country anymore, because you're going to meet more people, right? So that's a really good attitude to approach it. Anybody else?
It's the first step to let other people know me. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there's not no existing chances, but who knows in the future.
Exactly, in the future. Okay, that's something I want to address too. How do you think practicing lawyers get clients or get cases?
Reception. And sometimes it's introduced by other lawyers.
Networking, mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, even if you're not in private practice, you're in another sector, you know, projects and things, and if you, let's say you say, oh, but I'm a public interest person and I'm never going to need to look for a client. Well, you're going to need to look for grants. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to look for people who want to hear what you have to say if you're a consultant, right? So how do those things come to you? Right now, we still have the comfort of having job postings to apply. When we're networking, looking for a job, if you don't feel like networking, you can still go to your job postings, right? And you can still sit there and apply to job postings, which I don't discourage you to do. I mean, that's why I have a newsletter with 150 pages of job postings. You know, there are people who find jobs through job postings. But if you need to find a grant or a client or anything else, there's not going to be a 150-page newsletter telling you these are all the clients who want you. There's not going to be that kind of stuff, right? So this skill that you're learning today, hopefully that you're learning a little bit getting out of here, is going to serve you when you are also looking for clients after you get your job. This is going to serve you a lot after you get your job, to connect with other lawyers, to get referrals, okay, to learn about areas that you haven't practiced yet and another lawyer is doing and you already have a job, but you got this one client who has 10 different problems. 9 you know how to resolve, 1 you don't. So you're going to need to reach out to people you know to say, hey, have you done a case like this before? I just got this client. I don't know exactly much about it. So it's going to serve you well afterwards as well. So thank you for sharing the reasons why. The other exercise is, now that you decided, and I hope I convinced you that networking is going to be good for you, let's do some preparation. Okay, so we're going to go through these real quick, but write it down. It's really important to write it down because otherwise you won't remember later. So preparation. What are the areas of law that you are interested in? Why do I put this question here? Because I cannot tell you how many students I meet that are doing an LLM, which is an advanced degree. You already went through a lawyer's life back home. And then you came here, you're investing your energy, and you learned better English to be able to be here. And I ask you, what are the areas you want to focus on? And people say, I don't know. Right? So this is an exercise to kind of make you think about it. And if you have one area, two areas, three areas, four areas that you're interested in, it's going to help you with your networking, and you see why as we go through the form. Because it's much easier to target areas whenever you know what you like. You go to events that talk about that area. You meet people who practice in that area. You talk to the professors who are teaching that, right? So everybody put down what areas of law you're interested in. And then the other part of preparation is, where exactly would you like to work? Do you know? If you don't know yet, let's do some research. Let's think about this, okay? Do you want to be in a law firm? Do you want to be in an NGO? If you're here temporarily and you just want to do an internship for 6 months, where exactly would you like that internship to be? Okay, we need to have a picture. Because if somebody sits in front of you, like a professor who really likes you, I have my students, like, of course I like all of them, but some of them are just so brilliant and so driven, and I want to help them. And I have contacts in my area because I used to be a practicing trade lawyer. So I sit in front of them and I tell them, where do you want to work? So I can send your resume around. And they sit in front of me and they say, I don't know, any place. Anywhere where they're giving me a job. Well, that doesn't help me. I really want to forward that resume around, but if they don't tell me, I want to go to the WTO, or I want to go to a law firm in Geneva, or I want to go to a law firm in Brazil, or I want to go to... I can't help, because if you don't tell me where, I can't help. So answering this question for yourself is going to help you. When you ask for the help of others, people are going to know where to send you. Okay, so where would you ideally want to work? So the other preparation is, who already works there? And that's something you may not be able to fill it out here, but I want you to think about it. Why? Because let's say you want to work for Amnesty International. So what can we do? We can look at the website, and we can see the names of people working in different projects. And we can see how to connect you with that. Or you can come to my office and say, Adriana, do you know any alums in Amnesty International? Okay, so that's why I want you to think about, where do you want to go, and then I want you and I to work together to see who we have there that can help you. Okay, I can't promise I have contacts in places in everywhere, but we do have a lot of contacts. Within the law school, you know, there's always a professor who knows somebody, there's always one of the counselors in my office who knows somebody. So, you know, let's think about where so we can help you. Okay, the next one, what are the events in town or the WCL, bless you, or a WCL where people will be talking about this area of law? So what are the events that you think you should attend? You know, and let's put this here for you as an exercise that you're going to be doing every month, okay? In the beginning of the month, every month, make yourself a list of places where people are going to be gathering together. Gathering together is good. To talk about that type of issue that you are interested in working with. So I'll give you an example. If you want to work with, let's say, arbitration. So I'm going to look this month at everything that WCL is offering, and I'm going to map out all the arbitration events. So there's tons of them, right? And make yourself a commitment to go to at least one or two of those and make sure that you practice this there, okay? But I'm putting it on paper because when you visualize it, it becomes a plan that you can follow, okay? The other thing is, which professors can I ask to introduce me to people they know in the field, okay? So you just go to the faculty tab in our website, and you're going to find all the professors practicing in that area. Even if you didn't take that person's class, you know, go meet with them, go talk to them, go say you have an interest, you know, start introducing yourself. Don't walk into their office and say, can you give me your contacts, please? Mm-hmm. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. But introduce yourself. Say, hey, I haven't taken your class yet. I haven't had the opportunity, but I'm very interested in this type of law, you know. Start by doing that, okay? Now, what I put here is that keep in mind that professors introduce you to people a lot of times it's through email, and you got to follow up. It's very rude if somebody sends an email on your behalf and you don't follow up, okay? So make sure that if it's an email introduction, you need to follow up. The other thing is which alumni from my school work in the area of law that I'm interested in. So that's another exercise that I can help you with. I can help identify people for you. Gina Evers, who's the alumni coordinator, can help you a lot too. So if you come to Gina and you say, Gina, I really want to do international arbitration. Can you give me a couple of names of people, okay, that actually express to you that they want to help students? Both Gina and I and other people in the program can help you with that, professors as well. Right? So alumni is a very rich resource because they're already supposed, you know, we have a contract with them that they're supposed to be friendly to you. And if they're not, we go and we talk to them. Okay? Now let's turn the tables around because here you put everything that you are going to get from people, right? Everybody we can ask for help. Now let's turn the tables around. Is there anything that you feel or anybody you feel you could offer help to? Within the law school, within Washington, within the community you are living in right now. Can anybody tell me, like, one class of people who can use your help? I know the answer, but I'm not going to answer. I want you to think about it. In this building, who can use your help? Who are people who are just eager to ask for help, but sometimes they don't know where or how? Think about it. Okay, I'm going to make a drawing to help identify. Maybe this is going to help. I'm a bad drawer, okay? So thank God, like, the presentation is being recorded, but the drawings are not. What does this remind you of? I know it's a bad drawing. Okay, that's a U.S. flag, right? Okay, so our school, I don't know if you guys realize this, but our school is famous to Americans. That's how Americans see our school. They see this building here, coming take classes here. They see this as a ticket to becoming more international. Okay? If you want proof of this, just ask the few American students that are on ILSP program. Okay? Ask those guys why they came here. Okay? Ask one of them is Ted, I think. Okay, so Ted, for example, he came from a small town in the south of the United States. He came to do the LLM here exclusively and only because our school, first of all, is famous for international programs, and second, has 160 LLMs from everywhere in the world that he could interact with. Okay, so if there is one class of people in this building where you can revert the tables and you can actually offer them your knowledge, your contacts, your expertise in being foreign and living in another country, is all the American students who are here. I can tell you that at least 85% of the JD students in this building, they tell us that they want to work abroad, that they want to live abroad, that they sometimes they've never been outside the United States. They want to interact with foreign people. They want to learn about your culture, okay? So revert the tables around and help them with that. How can you help them with that? Whenever you go to an event, there are JD students, introduce yourself. Tell them where you're from. Interact with them as much as possible. Why am I saying that to you? Why would you do that? Why would you help those people? Like, and then I put here, remind me again, why would I help these people for free? Why?
Because we'd like help from these people. It's kind of like bilateral.
Exactly. It's like a bilateral agreement. Okay? Very trade term. It's like a bilateral agreement. So you're going to help them with your knowledge, your contacts, your experience being a foreigner, everything. You're going to make them more international. A lot of times for them, even just telling friends who are American that they have a friend from Belgium, that they have a friend from Russia, is already exciting for them. You don't have to do anything. You just have to exist. And they're already happy that you are here. Okay? So take advantage of that, you know, to go help them. And what happens is a lot of lawyers in America, a lot of students who are JD students, they come from families of lawyers. You know, they've been doing this networking thing for like ages. Before you came along, they were already doing it, right? So they lived here, they lived in other states, or they lived here in Washington, and they can connect with a lot of people. So when you say, like, you know, remind me, why am I doing this for free? You're not doing it for free. You're getting a lot out of it. So be smart and be the person to make that bridge, okay? And the other thing is, whenever we, one thing I forgot to mention in the session, which is volunteering can be a great way of meeting people and networking. The DC Bar, for example, has a lot of events they organize, and you can help, you know, offer your help to help organize the events. For those interested in international trade, there are two associations that I'd like to mention. WITA.org and WIT.org. Those are trade associations in town. They do a lot of events too, and they take students to help organize. You just stay there and you give out name tags or something, right? But by being in that room and having your face known to people, of course, you get to see the event for free, and you get to know all the senior lawyers who are going to be there as well. So it's one way. Volunteering is definitely one way to doing it. Volunteering in something related to law is an obvious one. You're going to get connections. Volunteering in something that is not related to law, in DC, you're going to meet tons of lawyers. For those who are public interest oriented, not private practice, if you volunteer giving soup to the poor in Thanksgiving, there are a ton of places in DC you can volunteer giving Thanksgiving meals to people. I can guarantee you a lot of lawyers do that. I know a lot of lawyers who do that. So you are giving soup to the poor, you're being a good person, but at the same time, behind the table with you, there's 10 lawyers doing exactly the same thing, or people who work for companies or NGOs, or, you know, all kinds of connections you can make through those things. Because obviously the people who are there giving out the soup, they already have a job. They have their soup at home guaranteed, right? So you're not going there to meet the homeless people. You're going there to, of course, interact with them, help them. But at the same time, you're being very smart by putting yourself in a place where people are being charitable. And in my opinion, people can only be charitable when they have a lot to give, which means they already have their own needs met, which means they have a job. And if they have a job, they can connect you with other people in town. Right? So volunteering in completely unrelated activities can help you a lot as well. Okay, so now we're almost done with our session, and I still have a lot to talk about, but one thing I want to teach you is this. As you are practicing this, hopefully, your network of people is going to expand, and you're going to have a lot of people that you're going to meet, or at least 10 or 20. So we start here. And you met this person, and you met this person, and you met this person, and these people introduced you to one, two. Okay, my people get bad as I get tired of drawing them. Okay, one, two, three, one, two, three. Okay? Every time you talk to somebody, you're going to notice that Americans don't get very personal about things, but they will tell you the minimum about their lives just to connect with you on a human level, right? So usually, you're going to learn right away when you talk to people if they have kids, if they ski, if they dance tango, if they are interested in going to the gym, if they're couch potatoes and they like to watch movies, if they've been, you know, to the last football game, to the last baseball game. So when you interact with people here, you're going to learn those little things about them, okay? So how are you going to remember, when you start doing this a lot, how are you going to remember, like, 3 months later, if this person told you that they had a kid, or they had a dog, or they have a farm, or they have a horse? I mean, how are you going to remember all of that? So you need to organize those contacts, okay? So from today on, every time you meet somebody, find yourself a way to organize it, okay? A lot of Americans do. This is a very common practice here, which is a little strange for us foreigners, but they do Excel tables, and they put your name in it, and they put when they met you, what do you do, right? That you are a student from Korea, from China, from Belgium, from Russia, and that you said that you're here for 6 months and that you are looking for this and that, and that you have, I don't know, a German Shepherd, okay? So what happens is you do that on a regular basis every time you meet somebody, and 3 months from now, you know, or now 2 months from now, you know, Christmas, holiday season comes along, right? And you send them a card or you send them an email to say, I wish you happy holidays. I really enjoyed meeting you at the reception in American University earlier this year. I hope everything's fine with you and your daughter is enjoying preschool. Okay? why is it strange for me, at least as a foreigner, to be able to do this? It's strange because I am basing my comment on my card on an Excel table that I prepared. I only remember that that person has a daughter because I put it in my Excel table, right? But guess what? When the person receives that, it doesn't matter. They think that you are considerate and that you remembered. Okay? It's a secret. It's our secret that you're doing that because of an Excel file that you have. But people are not going to know. Right? So if you do that, it becomes interesting because the reality is people never know, you know, that you made that catalog about, you know, that don't be creepy too and write everything about them, because that's going to be creepy, you know, like if you write to them and you say, oh, I remember that you told me this. I have a student who does that and it's really creepy. I've had lawyers calling me and say, oh my God, it's so creepy. I met with this student a year ago and now I got this email from him and he highlights absolutely everything I said to him. That's creepy, okay? But one or two things is nice to remember, okay? So one of the lawyers I met, for example, from Sidley Austin, he had a daughter who was 14 years old. He wanted to send the daughter to Brazil, right? 14 years old by herself. I said, don't do it. You're crazy. I said, you're not going to do it. I mean, this girl is not going to make it. 14 years old, completely by herself in a South American country that is very violent. Don't do it. Let's wait until she's 18, 19, and then you send her to a university program, right? So finally, many years later, I didn't have to put in the Excel file, I still remember. And then I connected with him and I said, hey, I think now is about time you want to send your daughter to Brazil and I'm happy to help you with the connections over there. And that person was so thankful to me that I helped him, that at the time I was job searching. And he was like, you know what, you're job searching because you just got out of school. Can I help you forward your resume to all the lawyers in Sidley Austin? I was like, of course, thank you, right? So those are the types of things, you know, they're little things about people, but people will feel that they are special to you because you remembered, okay? And if you need to make a catalog of it to remember, just be it. It's better to do that than somebody you see again in WCL and you say, oh, I remember I met you, but I'm so sorry, I don't remember. Where are you from? Oh my God, what is your name again? Oh, yeah, you told me you were doing, was it human rights? And the person's like, no, it's actually corporate law. Oh, I'm sorry. And that happens when you've done this really well. It's only human that you're going to forget because there's so many people. The other thing I'm going to teach you is when you go to a reception or something and you get business cards from people, right? One thing to do, if you can do it in your own language, that's better in case that business card gets misplaced. In the back of the business card, write down who that person is, how to remember them. Okay, so sometimes, sadly, it's going to be things that are not nice, right? Like, I don't know, fat guy with a beard, right? Okay, so if that makes you remember who that person is, that's fine. But, you know, for us who are foreign, it's better, it's safer, so we don't get arrested. It's better you do it, like, in your own language. And make sure you don't lose the business card. But if that's the way to remember the person, do it. Because a lot of times, especially when you go to ISIP, you're going to meet so many people, and they are going to be important to you later. Just make sure you write down who they are and how you met and everything, so you can follow up later, too. The other thing is, every time you do this, one person refers you to another, and you meet with people and everything, please remember to say thanks, okay? It doesn't have to be a very complicated letter. A little email is going to do it. You know, just send them, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me and teach me about this area of law. Okay, so just a small little thank you goes a long way. Because people in America value their time very much. And by meeting with you, they're using their time. They're if you think of a lawyer, like we bill here in increments of 6 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So an hour that a lawyer's with you, it's every 6 minutes that he was not billing any client. He was just dedicating that time to you for free, right? And a lot of people do that here. It's fine. But you got to say thanks. I mean, it's only polite to go say thanks. Okay. What else? After you did all this effort, if you never follow up with the person, you never remember to ask how they're doing, they're going to forget you and you're going to forget them. So all this effort is going to go down the drain if you don't keep in touch. How do you keep in touch with lawyers, with professors, with people you met? Remember what their interests are. And when you're reading the newspaper, it's important to be informed about things. Feel free to do this. This is one thing that people do all the time in America. Forward them articles that are going to be of interest to them. Don't forward 20 articles every day. You know, there is a limit there. But, you know, at least, let's say, every 2 weeks or so, you know, if I found an article about a new case, you know, against China, and I remember there's this lawyer I met who is dealing with anti-dumping in China, well, why don't I forward that Financial Times article that came out yesterday and say to the lawyer, hey, not hey, but dear Mr. So-and-so, I read this article in the newspaper yesterday and I thought this could interest you. Please take a look below. Thank you and your name. Okay? What does that tell people? That tells people that you are really interested in that type of law, to the point that you're using your free time to read periodicals and learn more about those cases that are coming out. And I can guarantee all of you in this room, if you read the Financial Times, you're going to have a lot of things to forward. Okay? And we have it for free in the library. Okay? Financial Times is a really good resource for every LLM because it's one of the only newspapers in town that talk about international global issues, private and public interest, both. Bless you. Now, do you think that that lawyer didn't see that article? Most likely the lawyer saw that article already because they have people in law firms who their only job is to scan newspapers and forward things around. So you're not forwarding it to say, oh, this is going to be new to you. Sometimes they never saw it, but sometimes they already saw it. But what you're telling them is that you knew about it. And as a student, the fact that you know about that is impressive. And people here are very polite about that, and they will always say, oh, thank you so much, that was great. So how are you? How are your studies? And that's a way to keep in touch with people, okay, forwarding things. I put here articles and news and Google Alerts. Google Alerts can be helpful. Does everybody know what Google Alerts is? Okay. You can set up Google Alerts. Let's say there's this famous lawyer in town and you want to work with them. You can set up a Google Alert with the name of the person. And anytime that person is mentioned in a publication, Google Alerts is going to send you an article about that person, right? I did that with Gary Horlick, who's a very famous international trade lawyer, okay? And he publishes a lot of things in different, you know, all kinds of different periodicals. He publishes, like, funny articles in the Financial Times. He publishes a lot of stuff. So, of course, I'm not going to be scanning every single publication to see if I find Gary Horlick anywhere. My dream was to work with him. So what did I do? You don't become creepy, too. Be careful about that. There's a fine line between stalking and sending them articles. But Gary Horlick once wrote in the Financial Times a whole page about being an international lawyer and how much money you can make, but how much you don't see your family and you get stressed and the flights are delayed and how tiring it is. And that was actually, he's kind of a little chubby guy and he carries a lot of stuff. And there was this picture drawing about him and he was showing him with all the bags and everything. And he's a very funny person. I just love that picture and the article was very well written and he wrote it himself. I only found out about it because of my Google Alerts with his name. So the next day I sent him an email and I said, dear Mr. Horlick, I was very impressed to see your courage to write about something like that and your courage to allow yourself to be portrayed in a cartoon in that manner. That shows that you are a very confident, fun, interesting person and it only increases my willingness to work in your firm. So just to follow up on our previous interview, how are those internships going? Do you still have anything available? Or are you interested in something? So basically that's one way, one non-creepy way of following up with people. Don't do that too much. If the person is in the news all the time, don't send them articles every day. Don't send them comments every day because that's creepy. But, you know, 3 months down the road after you met somebody, go back to your Excel file and say, oh, this lawyer here, I met him 3 months ago. He practices intellectual property. Let me look in the paper if there's anything I can follow up with so that I can just send them something. Okay, that's one way of continuing to use your contacts. Otherwise, you lose it. Okay? Guys, I've talked your ear off. It's like 12:30, 12:40. And obviously, there's a lot more to learn. There is one thing I haven't covered with you, which is receptions and how to shake hands with people and all that. But we have a lot of literature that I'm going to give you. This workshop has two parts in reality. One part is what we do here with you, me talking to you and trying to make you realize all how you can organize yourself to look for places, to network and everything. The second part, I definitely want you to do some homework and read the stuff I give it to you. Of course, I have no way of checking if you read or not, but it's to your own benefit. If you read, you're definitely going to understand everything that I was saying today. It's going to drive home the point and help you with the networking, okay? So I'm going to pass around, by permission, we made this, Kieran very kindly made the double-sided wonderful copies of this book. Anybody who came to my office heard about the Guerrilla Tactics book. Okay, there is a book in America called Guerrilla Tactics to Getting a Legal Job, the Legal Job of Your Dreams. So we have them in our office. It's a great book in terms of a fun read and also telling you everything you need to know about the job search process here, what works, what doesn't, how to do it. I'm going to pass this around. I just want you to look at the table of contents and see if anything is interesting to you. You're more than welcome to come to our office and make copies if you want, or you're welcome to look for this online. I found like used copies for $2 last time I looked. Every time somebody comes to my office, we do that search, and it's $2. So I'm going to pass this around. And the handout I'm giving to you today is the chapter about networking that is in that book. And I found, as a foreigner, I found this very, very useful. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so take one and pass the others. Thank you so much. And then the part that I didn't cover today because we're out of time is the part about receptions. We have a handout that is more concise to help you with that as well. And the book chapter also talks about receptions and social situations. So I hope you take advantage of that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because it's pretty close to Christmas, so I wonder whether it's a good opportunity to send Christmas cards.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Hold on just a second, let me get to that. So the last handout I'm passing around, you're going to see that it has tables for you to fill out, and that also helps you organize yourself when you're networking. So which one? That one. Okay. Let me go this way. Okay, so everybody, just to make sure you have everything, the first thing you should have is the what is networking, the exercise thing we were doing during the session. Oops. The second thing is the chapter of the Guerrilla Tactics book. It's a thicker handout. And then the other thing is this handout that has Office of Career and Professional Development on top. Everybody has that. Okay. And the last one, networking, building contacts one. Okay. The good thing about the last one that I gave you, if you look in the back of it, I put a model of an email. Whenever you want to write to somebody to meet with them, this is the model of an email that you can use, because most likely, if you've never done this, you don't know what to write on that email to invite somebody for a coffee, to meet with you, to discuss international law or international trade or whatever. So this model can help you a lot, okay? The last thing I'm going to ask you to do, and then I'm going to answer your question, is to just fill out this sign-in sheet. Before you go, just put your name on this, please. Yes. If you want to come around here, then you can do it fast. I just need to know who was here. Okay, so to answer her question about how to use the holiday break or Christmas to network. So basically, it's a little strange to send a card to somebody you don't know, right? But to the people you know, it's a great opportunity to keep in touch. One thing to keep in mind is that America is so much about inclusion and diversity and respect for all kinds of religions, so don't assume that everybody celebrates Christmas, because a lot of people are from different religions, a lot of people are from different cultures, different backgrounds. So a lot of times, if we come from a Christian tradition, we automatically assume that everybody in the world is going to be celebrating Christmas. And a lot of times, even Christians don't want to celebrate Christmas because they think it's a commercial creation or whatever. But everybody for sure enjoys having 2 days off, right, over Christmas, because the 25th and 26th is always going to be off a holiday. So the other holiday is Thanksgiving coming up now, which, it's a non-religious holiday, right? It celebrates something completely different. So if you want to use the holidays to keep in touch with people, the proper way to say it is to definitely get a card or something to send, or it could be in an email as well, and just wish them happy holidays and hope that they have safe travels if they're traveling. Those are the polite things to say. Bye, спасибо, thank you so much for coming. See you later, have a good weekend. Okay, thank you. So tell them happy holidays. That's a very, very neutral. You're safe with pretty much every culture if you say that, because everybody's going to have some days off. Wish them safe travels. In the US, that's very popular. It's a very polite thing to say when people are traveling. And the other thing you can say is, I hope you enjoyed the winter break. So those are words that, you know, still tell people that you are wishing them well, but you're being mindful of, you know, the fact that the culture may be different. in my case, even my friends here, when I give them presents for Christmas or presents for the holidays, the card that I put on my presents always says Happy Holidays. It never says, because I have a lot of Jewish friends, I have a lot of Muslim friends, I have a lot of, you know, friends from all kinds of different backgrounds, and some people just don't celebrate Christmas. So saying Happy Christmas sometimes in America, that's what I noticed, it can offend people, which is very strange for us, because in our culture, you know, if you don't celebrate, you don't even get offended. People told you that, right? But here it can be a little delicate. So I would say use the holidays, you know, feel free to send it by email, feel free to send it by, you know, write down a card and send it. If you send a handwritten card, people usually appreciate it a lot more. Okay, I noticed that. It does make a difference, because we get emails every day. We get emails all the time. We get too many emails. So one more email, Happy Christmas, oh, okay, thank you, or Happy Holidays, oh, thank you. But if you get a card that somebody took the time to mail it to you, it does make a difference. The only risk there is there is no spell check, right? And there's nothing worse than trying to get a job with somebody, sending that card with the intention of keeping in touch with that future boss of yours, and then sending a card where you misspelled holidays. Or you misspelled best wishes. Or you misspelled the name of the person. Guys, please, the name of the person is one of the most important things. You cannot misspell people's names. Okay? I get that all the time. And even though I know that it's not the person's fault in a sense that they're not doing it on purpose, but it's very, very discouraging. It's very irritating when people misspell your name. For some reason, you know, and this is a human reaction, like we just don't like to see our names misspelled. I mean, the person knew you from somewhere, they had your name written down somewhere. They didn't even bother to see how you spell the name. You know, it's just, so make sure, you know, you try that. And the other thing you can do, like as a foreigner myself, when you write something, you handwrite something, if you want to be really safe, you can type it first in your computer and use the spell check to help you out, okay? And then you copy that into the card. Okay, and you try your best not to misspell it. But I can tell you that a handwritten card goes a long way. It tells people, it's more personal, because we just don't get that anymore. I mean, these days you don't get letters anymore. So the fact that you got a handwritten letter is actually a great way to somebody's heart, I think. It really is. Any other questions? Anything you want to ask? Anything I didn't address? Yes. Go ahead.
If it's in China, I would probably rush to the cashier and buy a coffee for him.
Okay. That's a very good question. First of all, one thing I didn't address is when you go for those coffees with people that I'm talking about, and if you read this book, the chapter in the book is going to tell you, you need to dress professionally. So basically, you dress as if you were going for a job interview. Even though it's just a casual coffee, even if the lawyer you're meeting is in jeans and a t-shirt, you have to be in a suit, you have to be professional. Okay? Always try to be in a suit, you know, definitely discreet clothes, you know, especially for the ladies, very, very discreet, very professional. That goes a long way in America, okay? Don't feel bad if you happen to meet a lawyer on a Friday and they have casual Fridays and they're going to be in jeans and a t-shirt meeting you. They already have a job. They can do casual Fridays because they already have a job that has casual Fridays. You don't. So you need to be professional. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, who's going to pay for it? In my opinion, here, at least what I've seen, and I can tell you that I've done this a lot. When I was a student, I met 210 lawyers before I got my first internship. And I tell all the students who come see me this, because I think it's a very impressive number in a sense of how much effort you need to put sometimes, right, to get what you want. But most of the times, people offer to pay for you. The logic behind it is, I have a job, you don't. You're a student, you are in a short budget, you know, it's understood. In America, most students are on loans or a very short budget. So even though I'm here dedicating my time to mentoring you, to helping you, I have a salary every month, you don't. So it's understood that they're going to pay. If somebody here offers to pay for you, the first thing you say is, oh, thank you so much, that is so nice of you, thank you very much, I really appreciate it. You don't argue with them. Like in my culture, it's completely different. You have to argue with the person. when the person says, I'm going to pay, you need to say, no, I'll pay. Yeah. And then you go that back and forth for a while. In Egypt too? Oh my God. See, yeah. I could live in Egypt. And I didn't even know. But I swear, it's just, it's the polite thing to do. Okay? So for example, here, if you do that, people get very confused because they really believe you that you want to pay. In my country, if you say I want to pay, people know you don't want to pay, you're just arguing for the sake of arguing. Okay? But over here, they're going to get very confused and they're going to say, oh, really? But you're a student. Uh-huh. But no, I'll pay. And then they won't insist anymore and you're going to end up paying for everything. So be careful with what you wish for. Don't say, you know, things if it's just for the sake of saying. Here, people believe you. So, you know, I would wait. So both of you go to Starbucks. Both of you walk to the counter. You say that you want your double tall, sugar-free, cinnamon dolce, vanilla latte. And the person is looking at you, you know, and they're going to say, you know, usually, if it's especially if it's a partner in a law firm who's a male, he's going to say, just a coffee, please. Because, you know, boys don't have complicated lattes to order. But anyways, so I'm just joking. So he orders his tea or his latte. You order whatever you want. And you just keep quiet and you observe. And then probably he's going to pull out a card and pay for it. And you say, oh, do you want me to get it? You can ask. If they didn't ask anything, you know, you can ask. If usually what's going to happen, they pull out a card and they'll say, oh, I'll get this for you. And immediately you need to say, oh, thank you so much. That's so nice of you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And that's it. No need to go back to it anymore. Lunch, the same thing, especially with lunch. Now, of course, when you go for lunch with somebody, you know, you're not going to order 4 lobsters, 3 steaks, you know, and then ask to pack it to take it home. Believe me, I've seen students do it. Not foreign students, American students. I've seen them do that. So, you know, not order 4 lobsters, but just order the most expensive thing on the menu just to take advantage that you're there with a big partner. He makes a lot of money. Might as well eat the lobster, right? Well, it's impolite to do that. Don't do that. If the person is asking for a lobster and suggests that you have a lobster, then of course, you're going to go for that. You're not silly too, right? Come on. But, you know, wait a little bit and try to choose something that is like a moderate price, you know, and think about types of food that you're going to order that you're not going to spill all over yourself. Usually wraps are the worst thing for that type of situation. Wraps fall apart. I mean, the minute you grab that thing, there's stuff all over you. Soups are bad, especially if you have long hair like me. It just goes into the soup. If you, for the guys, if you're wearing a tie, the tie goes into the soup. So, you know, keep mindful of that. You know, things like that can be a big difference. You know, even if you really feel like having a soup, maybe have it that evening, later, some other time. And definitely don't order things that are way over the budget. Don't order alcohol. That's a very good one. If the person insists that you have alcohol and you're not used to having alcohol, be really careful about that because you can drink the whole glass and start saying things you don't mean to say. You know. So, you know, those are the situations. But when that comes up, you know, you can cross that bridge as it comes up. So, for example, if you have that coming up, and you don't know, and you know, you have any questions about it, or you're not 100% sure how to behave, feel free to come to our office. We can practice, we can do trainings with you, don't worry about it. And even, like you were saying, you know, it's a very cultural issue who pays, but coffee, you know, dinner, anything like a lunch, usually the rule is the person who already has a job will pay for you. And you just accept it, right? Kieran, you've done those, right? Can you tell us about your experience a little bit? Like, did people, bye, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Did people pay for you usually?
Oh yes. I yeah, I paid for her. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean it was very weird to be, you know, to wait for him to pay. But I kind of say, he said, what do you wanna have? And I said, coffee. And then he ordered coffee. And then he ordered another coffee for me. So. And then after I got the coffee, I said, I'm sorry, I mean, I took your time, and I made you spend money. But he said, no, it's okay, so, yeah.
That's good. I mean, the person will always try to pay. You don't need to apologize, by all means. You definitely don't need to apologize. They're there because they want to be there. They dedicate the time. The only thing you need to do is thank them. Definitely thank them, okay? Guys, it's time to go. It's Friday, so enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Thank you for coming. I hope you enjoyed your time. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. Bye, guys. Thanks a lot.